welcome back. Your dreams were your ticket. I welcome back to that same old place that you laughed about. Well, the names have all changed since you hung around, but those dreams have remained and they've turned around.
I'm gonna Mary Chanrax, it is so good to be back. I was creatively stifled.
Don't believe him. He was dreading this day.
I was... No, I love this
he
day.
Was, he was up, he was curled up going, crap, I'm going to have to do the show again. No.
I love the show. Dude, the show is blowing up. CC'd you the... I forwarded all these fan mails, right?
You forwarded me one, but...
Yo, there's others. I'll give you the rest. There's others. And actually, there's we're going to talk about this in the beginning of the show when we take care of business. We've got a new member of the crew. I've got... I actually have a listener email to read. Rex, how you doing, man?
Hey, good. So tell me, how'd you like it not pushing the buttons for recording in that last week?
It was kind of nice. It was nice just being on the phone, talking leisurely.
Yeah.
It was very enjoyable. I think that's all I could do right then. I was so exhausted.
Yeah.
I'm a big win. Record.
I didn't record. Rax did, but I was able to... Listen to this. Do you hear this, Rax? But I was able to call in, thankfully.
Wine.
No kidding. Mary Chan. Now Skylar was supposed to be here tonight also. It was going to be a huge...
She got called in for work again.
Okay, so she's given the cancer night. Oh, and I know this was actually... all of the listeners' minds, probably for weeks, where's Condor? Well... Condor is alive. He actually got in contact with us, but I think he's giving us a brush off.
No, I actually spoke with him. I actually heard his voice. Spoke with him. He says, oh, yeah, I can't make it tonight. I emailed Duel. I got to leave right away. So I don't know what's up with him, man.
I think he's too late for us now.
Don't believe him, guys. He's dead. Rax killed him and fed the bitch to the robot dog. Yeah, he talked to him. His last words were, no, please, put the knife down, please.
Not the Ivo. Well, he is alive, and he did email me saying he got the Debian working and everything. I guess he's happy.
As long as he's happy.
That's all that matters. As long as Condor's happy, I'm happy. Because he, you know, Old School Freak and Rare Freak America wouldn't be here without Condor. And you, Mary Chan.
What did she ever do for us?
Screw you, old man. Say it.
Screw you, old man.
Screw you, old man.
That doesn't work.
Oh, yeah. Oh, sorry. It has to be spontaneous.
No.
Like I said, I've got some business that I want to take care of. First, to thank Rax for doing those two shows and streaming. That's actually... So tell me, Rax, was it a little bit of work?
The streaming sucks, man. It works, but it's definitely not an elegant solution.
No, it's... Yeah, it's...
Gotta open a couple of windows, you gotta have the two different streams, you gotta, you know, jump through all these hoops to get Winamp going. I mean, it works, but, you know, I'll be happy when they have, like, a stream version 2.0 or whatever.
Right, one-button streaming.
Yeah.
You do have to get used to it. You did use... we talked about Audacity already.
Yeah.
Well, again, I want to thank you for doing that. Again, it was fun calling in. I like that. I wish we need to get callers. We need to get a call-in show, like an 800 number. That would be so nice.
Yeah, well, we can figure out. I'm working on something, kind of an idea of doing things through the net here.
Oh, yeah.
Eventually, and doing like a little VoIP thing over the net and that. So we'll talk about that later. We'll talk about that as we're doing the things and hanging up in New York at H2K2.
We'll talk.
Coffee talk.
Coffee talk, we'll talk.
And I might be able to join you guys for a bit of HTK2
as
well.
Of course, I hope you do. I really hope you get to go hang out with Sir Dave, because you'll be like a celeb there.
That automatically will make me a celeb.
That's right. What was that, Rax?
You told her it's in Buffalo, New York, right?
yeah, it's in Buffalo. it's not near Manhattan, that's a lie. Okay, next... Like I said, this show has been doing really well. We've been getting a lot of email. We actually have a new member of the crew. Rax put out a plea last week, you know, for help writing some summaries, and I took the first guy that I'm assuming is good. Yeah, it is. I took the first person who offered their services.
Is there more than one?
Yeah. And the first is Organized Turmoil.
Well, hey, you know, maybe we can. You know, keep the other people's names and stuff in that, and you know, let them know. And if they're listening tonight, you know, thanks for stepping up and stuff. And maybe we can find some other things to have you guys help out with.
Oh yeah, I definitely reply to everything. You know, and I'm hoping. You know, what I really want are some articles, because I get a lot of emails that are great stories. You know, I'd like to actually put them up on the site. Maybe I should email them back and ask, say, hey, can I make it into an article, put it on the site? But Organized Turmoil has been writing some great summaries. I mean, like, perfect. They're enjoyable to read, actually. You know, they're funny. It's perfect. I couldn't ask for better show summaries. So, welcome, Organized Turmoil, and thanks for all your help.
He's not here with us now, though.
He is not here with us now, no. But maybe in the future, maybe we can arrange it. I'd like to. I want to get as many people as we can on the show, get as many viewpoints as we can.
Ooh, social interaction.
That's right. Social interaction is the key, folks. Communication, free speech. You're going to have to speak up, Mary Chan.
Oh.
Now, next, I want to read... Oh, you know what? No, this made me... it didn't make me mad, but it kind of scared me. My hosting service... You know, occasionally my website's down. Actually, the whole hosting service is down sometimes. Late at night, early in the morning, Sundays, and that doesn't bug me. You know, they got to, you know, they're a business. They got to do stuff. They got to take care of their servers. But this past Sunday, I went to oldschoolfreak.com, and it said that domain is available. Sign up and get it now. And I freaked out. I thought, man, what happened? I mean, was I hacked? Did somebody social engineer? You know, with my password? I don't know.
They changed the password too, huh?
Bastards.
I changed the password after all this happened.
Yeah.
But here, it was on a Sunday. I do have the priority email and phone support only during business hours. And Sunday, of course, is not business hours for all you Christians out there. So, I said, you know what? No, don't stress about it now. Just wait till tomorrow. So I went and did a bunch of stuff. I came back later in the day, Sunday evening, checked it out, and it was just down. I went to Free Server's website, and their server was down. That's my hosting service. You'll see it's oldschoolfreak.8m.com. So they were totally, totally down. That actually was a relief. Believe me, I never thought I would say that having my website being down is a good thing, but it was. So.
Well, this happens a lot, actually. I used to have a little fan web page, and one day I accessed it, and it said, this site has been down due to a violation of terms agreed on Tripod. And I was like, what? So I go, you know, I go on there, I'm trying to see what terms I could have violated, and of course they're all things like, you know, truly offensive racial things, you know, plagiarism of another thing or another, you know, putting up pornography and whatnot, and I didn't have anything on that, you know? And I was really shocked, I'm like, what did I do here? And so of course, then I learned later on that a whole bunch of other people had lost their Tripod sites as well. And it turns out there was just this huge error on Tripod's behalf of them accidentally, like, canceling all these people's accounts. And ended up restoring them and everything, but it was really freaky because, you know, you work so hard on your webpage, you know?
Yeah, and that's exactly what happened. Something must have happened. They must have had an error or who knows? But I think that's the same thing that happened to me. And it was a little distressing because that's a lot of work. Thankfully, I have everything backed up, as do all you listeners.
Is that right?
What's that?
There's a term for that kind of stuff when it happens.
What's backup?
Oh, shit happens.
Oh, shit, yeah, that's right. FM. Yeah, it was. It was a little distressing, but site's up. It's good to go. I want to read an email, a really good email, from Bellbox. First off, love the show. I was recently doing a little exploring at my college and found that most departments throw all paper waste into big recycling cans in the hallways. So, of course, I decided to look in one of the bins near the registrar's bursar's office. Apparently, they were clearing out last year's files, and I now have the transcripts, bills, social security numbers, addresses, and full names of over 500 students, again, 500 students, that are currently attending the university. Photocopies of checks and driver's licenses were also found, never shredded, and pretty scary. Then I went to the dean's office and found account numbers, phone directories, memos about students and teachers, promotion. What is this promotion?
Request.
I'm losing my line.
Request,
thank you.
Request, etc. Want to finish reading here?
No. Sorry, it's so small. This font is, I printed out way too small.
Read it.
I have the social security number and address of the associate dean, along with his transcripts from when he went to college. They were throwing out his application materials. Next door to the dean's office is the payroll department, and they were throwing out memos listing the pay scales of all the teachers working there. This document included
all their associates.
Thank you very much. I can read it.
You're not messing it up. Right?
I'm not messing it up.
Hooked on phonics.
Hooked on phonics. Okay, how many degrees do you have?
Okay.
All their social security numbers. Other assorted memos. Thank you. You're making me nervous now. Other assorted memos were less interesting, but still should have been shredded. No computer manuals or anything, but it was very frightening that not one thing in any of these bins was shredded. I now have two large boxes sitting here full of stuff that could get the university in very deep trouble. Confidential memos, etc. Not bad for 3 hours worth of trashing, and I didn't have to get dirty either. Score. You should suggest. To, you know what? I'm taking out my freaking retainer hat. Oh, that's better. You should suggest to your other listeners that the summer is the time many of these universities clear out old documents, and by dressing up respectively, polo and khakis, people, you most likely will not get questions about what you were doing. Very interesting trashing site overall. Happy hacking freaking.
Well,
thank you, Bellbox.
I want to go to college.
Hell yeah, college rocks, by the way. College is fun, college is worthwhile. But apparently, they don't particularly care about your privacy, students.
I think or assistant deans or whoever that was.
The assistant dean? Promotions? That's highly proprietary. All that data, they want to keep in-house. They don't want anybody looking at it. I guarantee it. And they're just throwing it out to the trash. I mean, anybody who knows anything about security knows that, one of the enemy's first places goes, what? A trash bin. You know? It's fairly obvious. Even insiders. You should shred to protect those documents from insiders.
Well, I've got a shredder here at my house, and even like those stupid credit card offers and stuff you get, I shred that. I don't throw that out.
Me too. I totally shred that. I shred everywhere that I perform business transactions. I shred, if it's an envelope just with their logo but none of my personal information on it, I shred that. Because that gives somebody, a trail of yours to follow. Oh, he banks here, he uses this cellular phone company, he bought a car here. All that, any little piece of data builds on any other data, and you need to protect it. Crosscut shredders are best. I don't actually use a crosscut shredder. I'm not quite that paranoid, but it is the best.
You're not that paranoid, but you shred the logos on the outside of envelopes of
I shred
statement.
That's
paranoid, huh?
I shred, Dave, just because you're paranoid doesn't mean they're not after you. I do shred envelopes, but I just have a strip cut. Plus, they're a heck of a lot cheaper. This actually leads me to what my school did. I actually went to school. I went to university.
No, you didn't.
I did so.
It was clown college. Come on,
that's right. I got my big red nose and everything. I'm an alumnus. And what?
Big word, man. Alumnus.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you very much.
What fraternity were you in?
I did not give them my current address. I have since moved, I think, a couple of times. Somehow, they got my address. And then I received in the mail shortly that they were going to start putting all alumnus, by default, unless you opted out, all alumni information on this website for everybody and anybody to see.
You're in a sorority?
Unbelievable.
I can't believe you're in a sorority.
I visited a few sororities, if you know what I mean. So,
I had a fraternity.
No, it wasn't. Voices too deep for this.
Freudian slip there.
I didn't have the legs for a sorority. So, of course, naturally, I called and said, heck no, you silly billies. Don't put my personal information on the web.
Ask them how they got it?
Funny you mention that, Rex. Yes, I did. And you know what the woman said to me? Quote, they have their ways.
Ooh.
Was
nice.
That scary?
Yeah,
unbelievable.
I'm getting your hat off.
No kidding, man. They're probably trashing.
Fuck you, commie swine.
So, you know what? I appreciate what Bellbox did. Give him some of their own medicine. That's unbelievable. Thank you, Bellbox, for sending that in.
On top of that, he brought up another good point, too, is dress appropriately for the situation. I mean, if you're in a do-rag and, F the establishment black T-shirt, digging around there, you're going to be suspicious. But if you're sitting there in khakis and polos, in the university thing, and that's like, I think I threw out the wrong paper.
That's right. I dropped my retainer in the trash, it's a piece of cake. Yeah, he brought up a very good point, Rex. I'm glad you reiterated that.
Thank you for the article. We love you.
Yeah, you know what? Bellbox, I would like to put that up on the site, so let me know. So we talked about organized turmoil. Talked about Bellbox's email. I want to get into some heavy stuff, and I know we get into that a lot, but I think it's really important. Of course it's important. Not that it matters what I think, but I meant to bring this subject up weeks ago, at least weeks ago, and this is Kalea, Communications Assistance for Law Enforcement Act. It was a law enacted in 1994. I don't know from whence from where it originated. I'd like to find that out. I need more research. But basically, it gave the FCC powers to give out to tell communications companies, telcos, basically, yeah, you have to give this type of surveillance capabilities to federal agencies like the FBI. Congress, of course, gave $500 million. That's right, half a billion. This is on Slashdot today, by the way, to help the telcos pay for it. Well, it was kind of, you know, there's a bunch of lawsuits, and it was kind of pushed back. Well, you know what? It's back. The FCC is going to, they've justified why they need these surveillance capabilities, and they're going to be enacted. And what it's going to do, not only is it going to give law enforcement agencies the ability to perform pen register and trap and trace, trap and traces on your phone line, it's going to allow them to record any subsequent key presses on your phone. So, what does that mean? What's that?
So does it mean like if you say bomb, they'll pick it up?
No. We're talking right now. I'm just talking key presses. So like if you access bank accounts, if you access voicemail, if you're exploring a voicemail system or a PBX. Well, you know what? They're gonna be able to capture all this stuff. And from what I read, correct me if I'm wrong, listeners, without a warrant. That's right, without any judicial overview. So this is very scary stuff. Look into CALEA, C-A-L-E-A, the Communications Assistance for Law Enforcement Act. This is big-time stuff, especially for your freaks, so check that out.
There was some things a while back there, too. I think they were also talking about in the U.K. and Australia, the things that they can do there, and I guess even in Australia somehow, I mean, like political organizations or whatever had almost, it was something, I don't remember in detail, but it was something to the effect that political organizations could even get permission to have phone taps and stuff.
Political organizations?
It was something like that. So if anyone's listening from down under, please do get in touch with us and let us know what the skinny is and all that stuff.
Yeah, I've heard there's some crazy stuff going on. There's definitely some crazy stuff going on in the UK. Specifically, Home Secretary David Blunkett wanted to push what do they call it, the Snoopers Charter. Basically, this proposal that would give, these infinite surveillance capabilities to government agencies in the UK. And apparently the opposition was so big and so bold that they put it on hold until they meet again in November. Okay, so that's good news, right? Well, you know what? It's gonna come back up in November, okay? And listeners, there's a pattern. And here's the pattern. The government proposes something insanely intrusive, right? They're going to watch everything you do. And just like this, there's going to be vehement opposition, you know? No way, no freaking way you're going to do this. Well, okay, so we'll put it off till November. You know what? They're going to propose something maybe a little less intrusive, or it doesn't sound as intrusive. Well, there's going to be a little less opposition because it's months down the road and you've kind of forgotten about it a little bit. Then you know what? They're going to propose something else. And then you know what? Numbness and complacency begins to set in. And then you know what? Boom! You and your dog are chipped, right? They're going to track everything you do. They're going to drop it on you like your love handles from a Big Mac. You know, it's you have...
That analogy from?
I just made it up off the top of my head, actually.
It's not very good.
Was that a bad analogy?
Yes.
I thought it was pretty nice. Sneaks up on you like... Okay. I just made it up.
Go ahead.
Give me some credit. All right, so... You know, that's another thing, listeners. I try not to be cliche. I know I read I talk about a lot of things that you can check out on Slashdot or 2600. That's because they're super important. They need to be talked about more in more than one arena, you know, in more than one medium, more than just the internet. They need to be talked on talk radio and they need to be seen in print. They're very important. I do like to... I try to be original. I try to get original news stories, original hacks, you know, make up brand new things. Like analogies, and give it to you, listeners. But the things that I think are very important, that are imperative, that you hear, that's why I'm talking about them again. So, again, they're going to drop this on you, and they're going to be tracking you left and right.
The thing is with all that kind of stuff, as Duel was saying, that you know, we're getting so used to this kind of thing. People are, you know, all these things kind of happen when they do announcements of these things. They do it in such a way that it's legal that they let people know. But You know, it's just like the minimum amount of things that needs to be done.
Yeah.
There is, and the internet is so empowering in the sense that, you know, before, if the news media didn't carry, you know, the article about, you know, whatever, people didn't hear about it. Now, as fewer and fewer people are watching, you know, sheep media, if you want to call it. See, I can make up my own things too, but as they're watching, you know, big media, sheep media, and they're turning to the internet for getting information, well, you know, anyone can post up a web page, enough people go to it, if they get slash dotted or whatever, you know, that people find out, you know, the governments of, at any kind of various levels are afraid of that, because when you can control information, you can control people, and that was done in China, that was done in Russia. I think we talked about that before with the how PageMaker helped for the fall of the Soviet Union, and in China they were going to be registering people to have to own a modem. You were going to have a government license to own a modem, so they could track who had that information, who had access to information. So when they stop controlling the information, the people get the power to get that stuff. It actually scares them. And if you don't speak up, and if you don't let your elected politicians and that know your opposition to this type of thing, it's just going to keep slipping away and chipping away, you know, and fewer and fewer, you know, rights and freedoms and everything else are, you know, those are all going to go away too. You won't even know it.
You're exactly right, Rex. You're exactly right. And the thing is, you have to keep doing that. You must be vigilant. You have to continue to do it. Because right now, they drop the shock factor on the UK citizens, and then guess what? Okay, shock's over. Okay, we kind of won for a little bit. And you know what? You bring it in next time, and you're kind of off guard. You're like, oh, okay, it's not as bad this time. But no, you have to be vigilant. You have to keep watching. You have to keep listening. And you have to keep on those ass.
Yeah, I found that thing about Australia.
All right, I said it. Assholes. Sorry. What now?
Right, Australia. This is Sunday, June 9th. The Australian Electronic Frontiers Foundation reports that the Australian government is looking at introducing changes to Telecommunications Interception Act, giving government agencies, not just the police, the power to intercept email, voicemail, and SMS, short message service messages, without a warrant. Considering the concurrent proposals introduced in the legislature to allow banning of organizations suspected of terrorist links, surprised that only one suspecting Australian is having a whole lot less of political parties. And then it links off to something else about Australian government spies to win elections. So again, any listeners down in Australia, if you can shed any light on that, please do.
Yeah, please. And you know, I'm glad you brought up China, Rax. There's actually a horrible tragedy that occurred in an internet cafe in Beijing, I believe. 24 killed in this fire. That's a terrible tragedy. Nothing's more important than human life, of course. But the Chinese government apparently is using this as leverage to shut down. Try to shut down any internet access the Chinese citizens have at all. I believe they're shutting down all of the internet cafes, mostly illegal in Beijing. They're just using it to clamp down. I don't think they care. You know what? I don't think they give a rat's ass. I don't think the Communist Party there gives a rat's ass about human life as long as they stay in control. And I think, like you were talking about, Rex, that information, the internet is dangerous to them. So. It spits on the graves of those 24 people, what they're doing.
At the same time, though, I mean, they don't really seem to care about anything, truly. Like those DVDs, you know, you can purchase upstairs in the mall, you know, in this area.
Right.
Those are all bootlegged, and most of us know them, and the government really doesn't care. And the majority of bootleg stuff you can purchase is usually going to come out of that area anyway. And
yeah,
they just don't care anymore.
Exactly. You're exactly right. They don't care. That's money to them. Go ahead, sell them. That's jack. That's cash. That's cake. Okay, no more food analogies.
I've been hungry.
I just ate, actually.
Have you guys tried those new vanilla Cokes?
Who?
They like made these Cokes and they put a vanilla flavor.
Yeah,
those are really good.
Tried that. Vanilla Cokes rock.
Okay, back to the...
All right, sorry. As long as they're 50 cents. Okay.
I haven't seen them in can form yet, actually.
I don't know if it's... You know what?
They're making us buy them in the liter bottles. That's the problem.
Well, yeah, they're probably cheaper to make. And you know that Coke tastes different from a glass bottle to a can. Did you know that?
No,
it does.
No, Guinness does.
Definitely. I told you I tried Guinness, right?
Yeah.
It was actually very good, but as soon as it started getting a little bit warm, it started to get harsh.
Yeah, it's kind of bitter, kind of like a coffee thing, but yeah, ice cold, and you got to have the perfect pour. That's a whole other story.
Oh,
yeah,
I tried that exquisite Chardonnay the other day. Very nice.
Classier.
Not the best, yeah, but served lightly chilled, oh, yes.
Yeah, maybe we'll do a special episode of Guinness, how to pour the perfect Guinness. Did you hear that the IRC 2600 was DOS?
2600 or
IRC.2600.net, the IRC channel that Hackermine uses, by the way, was DOS, and they're not going to put it back up. I guess the hosting service said, screw this, you guys are a target, we're not touching you anymore. And here's the thing, all right, and here's why I bring it up. Because I want to inject a little original irony, hopefully, and that I bet you a gazillion bajillion dollars that the perpetrators of that DOS attack are hanging out on IRC all the time. They're probably bragging about it right frickin' now.
No doubt.
Yeah. Frankly, I use IRC rarely. I honestly don't see much point to it. I guess, you know, if it was serious and intelligent, but it's not, you know, it's just, I don't know what it is. It's not for me, I guess.
ASL.
What's ASL?
It's serious and intelligent.
Hold on.
Any time that I've noticed it either.
Yeah, go ahead, Richard.
Well, it's like, you know, those teenagers you see nowadays who actually, I honestly can't stand, and I'm, you know, around that age too, but like, you know, they spell R, you know, with the letter R, they type in U with U, you know. They don't have any concept of basic grammar or punctuation or capitalization, and they always go around typing in ASL, age, sex, location. Like, they can actually, like, get a boyfriend or girlfriend if they're online enough, you know, and it's just sad.
Yeah, maybe it is sad. I've seen little value from the few times I've been on IRC, but, if there was actually intelligent talk about technology, about learning, about sharing ideas and sharing what?
I used to go on IRC a lot, actually, and no, you're not going to find any of that there. I used to go there just for basic conversation of, you might meet people with the same interest. If you type in the channel of the interest, you know, type in Star Trek, you'll find a channel with a lot of nerds who like Star Trek, you know?
Yeah, and then you end up talking about ass and who knows what else. I met
some friends online, actually. Use of IRC, actually, and I mean, yeah, you get a lot of weirdos out there, but you always meet some people who are nice, reasonable, you know, intelligent people. And just in case I commit to listen, I want to give a shout out to Catchy, because I met her on IRC. You go, girl.
Shout out, girlfriend. Okay, alright. So I'm sure there is value to IRC, and that's just my opinion. But regardless, even if I had the ability to shut it down, I would never do that. Because just like 2600 said, that's an that's communication, that's an avenue of speech that needs to exist. You know, if people need to go somewhere and, you know,
RPG.
Trade, whatever that means, trade small talk, then let them. Yes. Yeah. Are you tired?
No.
You're tired.
No, I'm not.
Wow. You're not a whiner like I am. No. Okay. So in memory of Condor, you know, we know he's alive, but he's not here. So he's in limbo. We're gonna have the pseudo Linux segment in memory of Condor.
Linux is cool. Okay, there we go. All right, anyway, okay. Now
that was a great Condor imitation. I love Debian. He does, actually. He emailed me. He's using Debian right now, and everything works, and he's happy. Yay. And you know what, Condor, if that's what makes you happy, then do it.
Yay,
we're happy. Walmart, actually, Rax, you brought this to my attention. You want to tell the listeners about Walmart?
Yeah, they don't have it in the stores, because I checked my local one here. So only online, but Walmart is starting to sell PCs with Lindos, the Linux distribution that has Wine built into it and has a few other things that lets you run a lot, not all, but a lot of Windows programs. And they're selling that. But the big thing about this is the fact that they're like the largest retailer in the U.S., and now they're starting to not include machines that don't have Windows on it. They're giving people a choice. It's making them pretty cheap, like $299 to $599, I think, was a high-end machine.
Right.
And I think they're just kind of test marketing this first, but, you know, as we talked about before, even a couple episodes back, I mean, Microsoft now they need to be paranoid. They've been, you know, acting paranoid their entire life, and, you know, been being paranoid by Gates, but now there's enough hardware out there, there's enough software in the sense of, you know, all the Unix-like distributions, or Unish as I like to call them. You're getting things like OpenOffice.org, which has, you know, a spreadsheet, a word processor, graphics, and everything else. They really need to start being worried.
I agree. Isn't Walmart, if I'm correct, the largest retailer in the world?
In the U.S., anyway. I'm not sure about the world, but definitely at least the U.S.
Yeah, and we have a lot of money here in the U.S. Yeah, and the killer apps, right, the Office suites, The gap is closing, people, and Open Office is one. Star Office, which is inexpensive, not free, but inexpensive. Gobi, Productive, I believe. There's another one that a Korean company makes, I forgot. So that gap is closing. And Lindos is not vaporware, and if you can run most of your Windows apps, I think games, I think it's the Office Suite and games. Those are the two biggest. If Linux can take care of those, boy. Loki tried their darndest, but did I just say darndest?
Yes, you did.
I'm sorry, listeners.
You're turning Mormon, aren't you?
No.
Golly, golly, gosh, that darn government just annoys the fudge out of me.
No caffeine for me. No, we can't make fun of any Christian groups here.
You were just did. You remember, like a couple minutes ago? Anyway, no. That Sunday thing.
Oh, yeah, sorry. Sorry, all you Christian hackers.
Back here.
That's right.
So I played with, downloaded, was just released the other day, and I've got a hold of FreeBSD 4.6. And I'm liking it. Although, had some installation problems with it.
No.
And the machine I'm doing, it's actually with my web server before. It's a P2233. And with a, what the heck is it? A STB Systems Velocity 128. Well, installed fine with FreeBSD 4.5, and I just go and blow it away and do a new installation for 4.6. And it's interesting for X, for the X Windows environment, it was a newer version, first of all, but the configuration interface to it was a lot different than the previous version. It basically showed a little graphic of a computer and another, you know, a keyboard on one side, the mouse on the other. And as I'm scrolling through there, I no longer see that STB video card listed. So I'm researching everywhere I can. I'm looking around. I'm trying various things and trying various combinations. And it's basically putting the character set back out when it was in graphical mode to configure X, and then it drops back out and just tries to put your video card and display into the mode that you set it at. Well, it was having the wrong character set, because if you've ever seen that in a text screen, and this is back like in the old DOS days, used to see that too, that basically the screens were there and the characters were there, but it had the wrong character map in it, so you couldn't read anything that was on the screen. So I played around with that, got frustrated with it, and ended up, and it actually worked, I was surprised, but ended up, went back, reinstalled 4.5, did an upgrade install of 4.6, you know, got X Windows and everything working properly on 4.5, reinstalled it in 4.6, and worked like a charm.
Well, that's a good idea. You shouldn't have had to have done that, though. Funny you mention that, too, Rax. I just did install FreeBSD 4.5 on my P2266 laptop this morning. When I tried to configure X, and it showed everything that I had, the NeoMagic adapter, the 800x600 screen, everything, I know exactly. I've installed so many things on this laptop. It's my test bed, basically. I know exactly how to set it up in X. And it didn't work. It crashed when the server tried to start. So I wasn't very happy. It's honestly, it's not very friendly. I mean, and I don't know. Now tell me, Rax, honestly, am I... I'm glad you got it working. And by the way, what's your environment, your desktop environment for 4.6? What do you use?
Well, it was... just started out, it was because I did the upgrade, and the 4.5 had KDE 2.2.2, and as I was going through things, and I saw they had KDE 3.0.0, they don't have the 3.0.1 yet, but they have 3.0.0, and so I've got KDE 3.0.0 running now.
Well, that's good. That's actually one of the, that's my favorite desktop environment.
You know, I gotta take exception to that, because as I was playing around and starting to deal with different things, I probably have like 10 different distros here. I even have filled out the form and did all the things properly. I have Solaris 8 and
so
I Corel.
I got Solaris 8 to run on that laptop.
Could or couldn't?
I did.
Yeah, well, I don't know. Out of all the ones I installed, FreeBSD installed the best.
You're kidding me.
Oh, and that's why I'm kind of leaning towards it. I mean, it kind of endeared itself to me.
Maybe that's 4.6, because out of the 10 distros I put on my laptop, that's the one that worked the worst. You know, nothing against it. I'm sure it's very powerful. I'm sure it's very secure. But and this is what I want to ask you. Tell me, am I lazy or am I spoiled? Because I just, you know...
Both,
yeah, maybe both. You know, everybody listening has done a million command line installs. They've run their Xless distro on your 486. I know you have. I just don't want to do that anymore. And since X crashed, or maybe I could have started up again. I don't know. Maybe I could have installed again. I didn't want to. I just
I don't know if it's, you said like with your latest SUSE, you didn't even have to go through all that to do the install.
Holy moly, you could do that. And like, you know, I went through everything just to check it out, and I do my own partitioning, but you can install SUSE with like three clicks. It's unbelievable.
Well, the playing around with that in FreeBSD, playing around with X, which is where I spent the most time, at least with the 4.5 stuff. Yeah, if it crashes out the one thing, you can just do a control alt backspace. It'll kill the X server.
Right.
And go back to command line. You just run
X. Start X, ampersand, run it in the background.
And rerun it. Just tell it not to use a previous configuration and start it again.
Is that the command for BSDs, just like Linux, start X, ampersand?
No, to configure it, is XF86 setup.
Oh, to set it up again. Okay, that's meant to try to start it again.
Well, that or XNet is what all I use.
Yeah. Well, you know what? And this is my first time. This is my first time with BSD, first time 4.5. I did get it to work. You know, I did have a shell, but I'll try it again. I'll try it again. I bet if I tried it on, desktop with generic hardware, it would have worked a little better maybe. I don't know. But yeah, I had Solaris 8 running. It wasn't pretty, but I got Solaris 8 running on that laptop.
I had Corel. I had Slackware. I had Debian. I had, you know, all these other things out there.
You're
even on my laptop under virtual PC, I've got Trinix and IPComp and a few other things running. But
how about QNX?
No, I had it on those iOpeners, and I've got a couple of those iOpeners, and I've seen it years ago, but never really was very interested in it.
You know what I liked? I really liked BOS. I enjoyed that a lot. I wish it didn't die.
Well, you know, there's a movement afoot to try to make an open source, you know, do the same kind of thing, reverse engineer it, and make an open source B.
That'd be fun. I would be all over that. I really liked BOS. I'm sorry to see it fade away. Like Condor? Okay.
That was funny.
You know, since that didn't work, so then I decided, you know, I read this magazine called Linux Foreman. It's from the UK. And it's like $14, but you get a CD or two CDs or a DVD sometimes. Plus, it's a great magazine. And the latest issue, came with Mandrake 8.2, two discs with Mandrake 8.2 on it, the French distro. And since FreeBSD 4.5 didn't work out the way I wanted to, I threw on Mandrake 8.2, and man, I tell you what, that was nice. That is pretty. And you know what? I couldn't remember. If what I hadn't used, I knew there was one distro. It was either Caldera or Mandrake I'd never used, and I'm pretty sure now it was Mandrake, because I think I've tried Caldera before, and not Mandrake. So I tried Mandrake, and I was looking to you for inspiration, Mary Chan.
I bet you said to all the girls.
Well, I do, but that's okay, because it. Anyways, so I tried that, and it worked really nice. I used Window Maker. And I enjoyed it. So thumbs up to Mandrake 8.2. This is going to sound horrible. This is going to sound really bad. But this is just fun now. This is just fun. This isn't heavy stuff. And I hope it doesn't sound too commercial, because it's going to. I want everybody to go check out www.lexis.com/minority-report. First of all...
You're such a sellout. I know.
All right, curse the IRAA. But Minority Report looks like a good movie. Well, now think about it. We, you know, the MPAA does all these evil things. But I love the movie The Matrix. I can't wait to see the next Matrix movie. Does that make me a hypocrite?
You don't blare it out on the...
Or am I just...
You're not whoring it like you're a minority.
Listen to me. There's a reason. Okay, so go to Lexis.com. First of all, this is kind of weird. Why the hell would Lexis be a minority part? Of course, Lexis is in throughout the whole movie. You're going to see the logos everywhere. All the cars are going to be Lexis cars. It's a big ad, right? Just like Pepsi in all the movies. So you go to Lexis.com/minority-report. And there's going to be this flash game. It's a quote game. You know, it's pretty cool flash. It's kind of amazing. Flash is kind of useless, but it's still cool to look at. And of course, all the cool cars. And guess what? There's a hacker in this little Flash movie. That's right, a hacker. So if you want to see what you're going to look like in the future, listeners, go to Lexis.com Minority Report. You know what? Actually,
look
probably
like, you know, Jabba the Hutt. You know?
Yeah. No. He's in good shape. Whatever. But just go check it out. Go check it out and see what happens when you talk to the hacker. And except, anyways, never mind. I'll shut up. Just go check it out.
Yeah, I guess you have to be patient because I went to it and I took a look and it's like, you know, okay. I mean, it was nice.
You didn't do it? Did you get to the hacker?
No, I got bored on the ride home. You know, they had the little thing. You're in the car. You're doing the ride home. It's like, okay, this is boring, and I had enough of it.
Well, you can. I think you can go through it pretty fast, but it's funny. It's hilarious. Go check it out. I think it's kind of cool. I mean,
it's an interesting looking movie, but
yeah. Amazing, amazing advertising, amazing marketing. Amazing to the point where it's unbelievably just...
I also want to see Lilo and Stitch.
Who?
What, it comes out the same day as Minority Report, and it's about, like, this girl, and she gets a little space...
Whoa. Let's just stop right there.
Hey!
Is this a Disney movie?
Yeah.
Oh, no! They're the worst! Yeah. They're the most evil! They are the MPAA!
Here we can go, and there was, another thing on Slashdot that, Disney has moved all their rendering stuff over to a Linux server farm.
Oh, so, see, so...
He's trying to save your ass here, Mary Chan. Don't push it.
Yes, sir.
Did you just say yes, sir?
Anyway.
From screw you, old man, to yes, sir.
Yeah, but anyway, Minority Report looks interesting. I mean, you know, the special effects and everything are great and all that type of thing. You just kind of expect that now. But I think what's interesting is kind of it's revisiting, you know, 1984 with thought police in that. Basically, people are arrested for a thought crime. They're arrested for committing a crime before they commit it.
Right. They have, like, psychics in like, a bathtub.
Well, Jell-O, yeah.
Yeah, psychics. Psychic Jell-O wrestling.
But, you know, so think about it. I mean, that's the ultimate police state, right? You've not done anything, but just because they say you're going to do it in the future, they have the right to arrest you.
I love 1984. It's one of my favorite books, actually.
Really?
Well, I love Orwell in general, and I just love this idea. I mean, and that's one of the first books of this concept of how much in control we have our own lives, you know, and when does it get to the point where we become enslaved just because of what we're thinking, so.
Yeah.
Especially you guys, I think. It led up to you guys.
Think so. I think you're right.
That was a double plus good review there, by the way, Mary Chan.
Yeah, that was very good.
Thank you
very good.
Thank you.
Yeah, you know, think about, consider 2600 in that same context. I mean, those are just words on paper, you know? You could do things with that information, right? But, you know, are you bad just because you read it? Are you bad because you have it? Are you bad because you print it, you know? Are you going to get arrested because you're thinking about doing what's in that magazine? Who knows what's going to happen? I don't think psychics, you know, in a sauna are going to come get us anytime soon. But you definitely, again, listeners, be vigilant. Definitely be vigilant. You know, since Condor's not there, we can make some phone calls. I'm going to, you know what, man? Those long hours, those last 2 weeks, long, long hours. I think I'm going to get me a new job. Oh, yeah. In fact, I want to work for a telco.
He snapped.
I got
it. Wasn't helping him to work that many hours.
I want
to
be an operator. I receive junk mail, which I despise. A waste of resources on a crappy junk mail that I'll never touch. It's okay, Mary Chan. It's okay. I'm not going to be a telemarketer. Not a telemarketer.
This is
an operator. Just an operator. It's okay. Okay, so. And on the front page of this junk mail, the economy must be doing better. NCI's The Neighborhood is advertising jobs. They want to hire. And first of all, the ad
is
one page. No, it's half. That's what I was just going to get at. Half of it's in Spanish and half of it's in English, almost right down the middle. So they want people who are bilingual. And they're hiring. And they give a number. Where's the number? It's not an 800 number. Okay, so I'm going to call this number right now. And I'm going to see what it takes to be a neighborhood operator. All right, Rax. La la. They pay more if you're bilingual, by the way.
In what language?
Spanish.
Thank you for calling MCI. Our office is currently closed. But if you know your party's three-digit extension, please dial it now. Otherwise, call back during office hours, Monday through Thursday, 8:30 a.m. to 6 p.m., Friday, 8:30 a.m. to 4 p.m. Thanks for calling MCI and have a great day.
Okay, what the hell, I'm here.
From number you have dialed is invalid.
Okay, so what, the three-digit extension, we can find one. How about 555?
Please wait while I transfer your call.
Got it. Second try, man.
Is it 411?
No, 555.
Like in the movies.
Yeah.
It's like in the movies.
I'm gonna be bilingual.
Hi, this is Brian with the MCI WorldCom now.
Wow.
Hey, I got his name. All right, enough of that.
Don't miss.
All right, Rax.
Yeah.
Might have to do a little editing there. Save that poor guy's soul.
Oh, that's the part you're going to save. Okay.
Yeah. Well, no, and the other part, too. But, okay, so apparently the neighborhood doesn't want operators that bad. But, boy, I tell you what, they sure are pimping the Opcione Zero. They really want bilingual operators. Hey, you can speak Japanese.
So, though.
Okay, here, all right. Rant Radio, they want basically spots pimping Rant Radio, their station, in other languages. So we can record one in Japanese. You could say, like, you know, I'm Mary Chan, I am Lead Tech Girl, I listen to Rant Radio, something like that. Can you do that?
Konnichiwa, atashi wa Mary desu. Atashi wa Rant Radio o kiimasu.
Oh, yeah. We need to, you know what, I'll record that again, and we're going to send it to them. They're going to play it on the air. Awesome. Okay, now... Damn, I didn't find a job.
But so you're going to have to clean that that French fry thing that you spent 2 weeks cleaning out. You're going to have to do that again next month.
I'm going to, man. I'm going to have to.
Get right. To Target.
Let's see. Yeah. Where's the other number? I've got kids to feed.
All those ones that your girlfriends all claim. It's not mine. You can't prove it.
That's right. I want a paternity test. You know, there was that one girlfriend in Canada. Okay.
Those wacky Canadians.
Right.
No offense, Rex.
Okay. The next... is Quest. And where did I find this? Quest also wants operators. And I forgot, I think I heard this on the radio. So you call Quest at 800-WE-STAFF, and we're going to see what happens here. Be right back, Rex. I'm an operator, what the hell?
AT&T. To
place it. I gotta spell. We S T A F F.
Thank you for using AT&T.
Noisy little brats.
I always want to. I'm always hoping they come too close, and I'll just purposely make like orgasmic sounds.
No.
Okay.
No.
Hey, get the phone. With a crazy little.
I'm trying to get a job here.
West Corporation Customer Assistance Agent Staffing Line. Please allow us to give you a brief description about Quest Corporation and the customer assistance agent position.
No.
Live operator to assist you. Quest Corporation is a leader in internet-based data, voice, image, and multimedia communications, and we're looking for energetic individuals to join our team. We currently have immediate openings for full-time customer assistance agents. Customer assistance agents provide phone numbers and information to inbound callers. There are absolutely no sales and no experience necessary to apply for these positions. The starting pay for these positions are $8.65 per hour with increases in pay every 3 months during the first year of employment. If scheduled to work a bilingual shift, the pay is $1 more per hour. Quest offers a generous benefits package which includes employer-paid medical, dental, and vision benefits for you and your family after 90 days of employment. The selection process consists of gathering information about you over the phone, successful completion of a spelling test, assessment, background screen, and drug test. Quest is an equal opportunity employer. Please remain on the line and an associate will be right with you.
Oh, beep beep. Should we remain on the line?
Like,
yeah, what the hell?
You want that job, don't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, those little kids go by, you know, and they're like... They hear
I want a new refrigerator. No. Not on the show. Gee whiz.
Considering half the stuff we've talked about.
Why aren't those kids
show?
Inside hacking? Listeners, there's some there's a bunch of kids outside
oh,
playing.
I don't know. They're
they should
athletic.
Be inside.
Maybe.
They should be inside exploring computer systems.
Hey, little boy, come
wait,
on
she might,
inside.
Oh, she might. No.
I baked cookies. Would you like a cookie? They're very good. They have chocolate in them.
What if the operator came on? I'm trying to get a job here. live on an internet radio show. Well, that's not live, but anyways, trying to get a job.
You hear a click or something.
And they hear some woman go, oh, I baked cookies.
Stop it.
I'm wearing a low-cut shirt. Oh!
Stop it. Okay, thank you.
You were doing it.
No, I'm not.
All right, I'm sick of waiting. I'll wait a little bit longer.
You know, they're probably not going to pick up. It's out for hours.
I'm going to press star.
I think Rax is getting lonely.
Rax, you there?
Oh, sorry.
All right, fine. Well, still. Oh, it was hung up. Rax, you there?
Yeah,
they hung up, actually. No one was even there. I guess you're right, Mary Chan. So they want your blood type. They want your mother's maiden name. They want a lot of stuff, which is understandable. They probably want to protect against insiders, because you're going to get a lot of information. A lot of access to their telco equipment. Damn! How unsuccessful is that? It's hard as hell to become an operator these days.
I mentioned this the other day. You know, I told you about the CO switch near me.
Yeah.
And how they're building on everything else. So I was having dinner down the street at a restaurant, walking back home, and, you know, we're walking past the front gate, and, oh, it's about 9, 10 o'clock on a Saturday night. Front gate's wide open.
No kidding.
Yeah, I'm sure they had cameras all over the place. I just kind of, like, looked in a little bit and said, okay, just kept walking by.
Yeah, but think about it. Cameras, okay, a little lesson in physical security, everybody. Cameras are not sensors. Cameras are assessment. Cameras cannot detect that you were there. Somebody actually has to look at a little monitor and see that you were there. They must have sensors, and I bet you if the gate's open, there's probably no sensors active. They might have IR. They might have passive infrared, you know, when they close the gates, whatever. Maybe I doubt they'd have radar, but still, cameras are not sensors. So even if there is a camera, you could be in and out and gone, you could hop in the dumpster, grab the manual, and run out before they even know. Not to mention, if they're paying somebody, you know what? I'm going to give everybody a little lesson in physical security. If you think adding cameras and monitors and paying some guy $6.85 an hour to watch them is security, you are dead wrong. First of all, humans last about, 2 hours. They're effective for about 2 hours. And that's probably watching one to four monitors, just a guess. So if you're adding, 600 cameras and you got a bank of 20 monitors, you have no security, baby. You have negative security. You have detracted from the effectiveness of your system. Okay, that was a free lesson in physical security to everybody there.
Abdul, are you doing the, as we were talking about before, are you going to do the presentation at H2K2? Did you
get people
through with that?
I thought about it. Unfortunately, I do not have the time to, actually probably wouldn't be too hard to put together a lesson in physical security. I was also trying to consider the audience. I don't know how interested anybody would be in physical security. I know you hear about stories occasionally, like the traffic signal, the computers that control traffic signals in Argentina were stolen, and there was traffic jams for days or something. You hear stuff like that about physical security. Of course, that's the first step in computer security.
With hundreds of people going there, anything that's even remotely related, people are, lining up, jamming out the doors.
Yeah, you're probably right. Maybe you think it'd be too late to get on?
Gross.
I don't know. You should check it out when the show's over.
Maybe I will. I would, because I actually wouldn't take me too long to make a presentation about physical security. We'll think about it. Okay.
Speaking about, it's not physical security, but physical configurations, I was talking to one of the engineers for the cable modem company, and as we talked about before, I've gone from the regular home service to business class service. I was having some weird stuff going on. I thought they were maybe blocking port 20 as opposed to port 21 for FTP.
Right.
That I could FTP out to something and log in, but I'd try to do an LS or anything to, see a directory listing, and it wouldn't go, and it would basically just time out and drop me off. So I hooked that little net screen little router of theirs back in, and everything was working, and unplugged it again, and it worked again. So anyway, I called the guy and was talking to him. Found a couple interesting things. He had me read the MAC address of the cable modem, and he accessed the cable modem via the MAC address. Didn't care about the IP address that it was assigned to, just wanted the MAC address. And the second thing, though, I knew about that, of course, but I didn't realize they have a configuration file actually in the cable modem. Because he was going through and saying, yeah, everything looks fine here. Some additional things I found out that with the business service, And as we had talked about this before, you know, I said, hey, I'm going to play and put around a little server up there. I said, I took a quick look through the acceptable use policy. So on the business service, that's fine, right? And he says, oh, absolutely. That's part of the reason that they do that. They make that available for people to give them the static IP address. They can do that with the business service. However, he said, you know, if you start doing like 10 terabytes of data transfer per day, they might notice that.
Yeah, they might. Oh, wait a minute. I think I noticed something.
Yeah, the little spike here.
Yeah.
But now what he did say, and it was kind of interesting, that they do some port blocking. They block ports 137 through 139, which is used for NetBIOS on Microsoft Windows things. They block port 111, which I guess is a Sun RPC. There's a well-known Trojan out for that, and whatever the thing is, like 4455, that's the port number for back orifice. And there was, I think, one more he mentioned. He said, but that's all that we do. Interestingly enough, I talked to him about it a little bit with Zone Alarm on my machine, even with just the home service. Periodically, like maybe two or three times a day, they would check, and they would see if I'm running a web server on port 80 and then a news server, an NFTP server on whatever port it is. I can never remember.
What? A news server?
Yeah, and I said, you know, that doesn't make much sense. I said, what's the likelihood of someone running a news server versus running an FTP server?
Yeah, no doubt.
That's a decision that corporate made. Oh, well, you know. But there are a couple of websites actually out there that I think we've talked about a little bit before, like GRC, Gibson Research Corporation, that you can go and see what ports and things are open. There was another one that I just learned of, and I think it's Cygate, Cygate, and they had the ability to view, let's see, browser vulnerability. I'm just on the site now. Anyway, through a web-based thing, you could go and take a look at what ports were available, and they would scan, it literally said it would take 4 hours, they'd scan all 65,000 TCP and then 65,000 UDP ports on your IP address to see if anything could get through.
Wow.
So, sygate.com for Cygate, and check that out.
Hey, will you do me a favor, Rax?
Yep.
And basically, well, not attack, but scan my Linux box when I have it up next?
Yep.
Yeah, I'd appreciate that. And actually, could you ever trace that email I sent you?
Oh, yeah, I looked at that. I couldn't find any identifying information in it, so it looks like it's anonymized it well enough.
Very nice. Thank you. Thank you very much. I appreciate it. Yeah, definitely. Attack my box. I'll let you know, and we'll trade scans.
Should we do it like the last time when you were going to my FTP server and I started?
No. I know. I said, oh, my God, somebody said, were you here that time? Never mind. It was logging all these hits. It was unbelievable.
Here's for the listeners. Dual was going to my FTP server to get a little clip for the show, and kind of like the spider sitting back waiting for the fly to enter the web, enter the spider's web. I waited until he logged on, and I saw he got his IP address. And then I was using a thing kind of like Nmap, and I just started scanning the hell out of him, like every available port.
Did you do all 65,000? Because I racked up like 500 entries in my log, like so fast. It was unbelievable.
Yeah.
It was unbelievable. And then, yeah, I should have known.
I had a buddy do that to me too before. He said, rather than calling me, he scanned my port. And at the time, I was actually using this thing called, it was for my little Linksys box. It was called LinkWall or something like that, that it would beep at you when various incoming traffic was there, you know, that you didn't authorize. And so he said, rather than calling me, he just started scanning my ports, and he knew that would get my attention, so I called him.
That's way better than calling, and cheaper, too, by the way.
Yeah.
Hell yeah, play with snakes. All right. Again, I miss Condor.
Me, too.
I miss
Duel.
You missed me?
Tell the folks what we're going to have for the closing music tonight.
Negative Land, baby.
Negative Land, the singer from Negative Land, and I guess they got into all kinds of shit from their record company, I guess, sued him. But, you know, all the various samplings and things and that they've done. Well, he's going to be one of the speakers at H2K2. So I figured, we'd pimp him a little bit there and play the song. So that's what we're going to play for an outro today.
Good deal. Did you hear that, Rax? Mary Chen missed me. Okay.
I guess
somebody else missed me.
I'm impressed, all right.
I missed you too, Rax.
All right, listeners, be the media. I'm glad I'm back. And I'll be back for a long time. As much as I can, anyways. Mary Chan?
I like ponies.
She likes ponies.
Despite all that stuff, folks, keep knowledge free.
Now, we're up to our long-distance dedication. And this one is about kids and pets and a situation that we can all understand, whether we have kids or pets or neither. It's from a man in Cincinnati, Ohio, and here's what he writes. Dear Casey, this may seem to be a strange dedication request, but I'm quite sincere, and it'll mean a lot if you play it. Recently, there was a death in our family. He was a little dog named Snuggles, but he was most certainly a part of... Let's come start again. From coming out of the record. Play the record, okay? Please. That's the letter U and the numeral 2. The four-man band features Adam Clayton on bass, Larry Mullen on drums, Dave Evans, nicknamed The Edge, on... This is bullshit. Nobody cares. These guys are from England, and who gives a shit?
Oh, yeah.
Just a lot of wasted names that don't mean diddly shit.
I for sure, you don't know where you're at. So much shit about you.
This is bullshit. This is bullshit.
You sound
like you're part of a death. Who gives a shit? Diddly shit, diddly shit, diddly shit, diddly shit.
Damn right.
Nobody cares.
It's getting stronger all the time, yeah.
Snuggles.
Yeah.
Snuggles.
Oh, yeah.
Snuggles.
Oh, yeah.
He was a little dog named Snuggles. This is American Top 40. This is American Top 40. This is bullshit. This is bullshit.
Oh, man.